All right, thank you, choir and the orchestra and Miriam and our praise band. Let me ask you a question this morning as we get started. How many of you have ever been angry? Raise your hand. Think for a moment. Was it sinful anger? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Or was it justified? I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 19, verse 11 and 12. As we look at a message entitled Anger Under Control, and we'll be wandering around Proverbs, a little bit in Matthew and some other texts. So, Proverbs 19, verse 11 and 12. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. I turned on the news the other night. There was a security video in a convenience store in a major busy city in our nation. A young man had come in with a hoodie, and he had robbed the clerk. Over in the corner, there was a customer. It was a senior adult lady in her 80s. She had a purse about the size of a suitcase. But when the perpetrator grabbed the money, put it in his backpack, and had his gun out, she walked over to him and started beating him in the head relentlessly with her purse. He dropped his backpack. And finally, he reached for his backpack. She kept beating him. She said, I'm tired of you guys getting out of jail and coming back and doing this all over again. I'm going to beat you to death. He made it to the sidewalk, got on his bicycle, and got away. Question I'm going to let you answer. Sinful anger or justified? Let's look at a good definition of anger. Anger is actually a strong, intense feeling of displeasure, hostility, or indignation resulting from something that's real or maybe an imagined insult, an injustice, or frustration to you and other people. You identify your anger. Anger is a natural reaction that we have when we're confronted with a challenge to our personal worth, to our essential needs and basic conditions. Today's anger may well come from yesterday's leftovers. Is it right or wrong? I like what Aristotle said. He said, anyone can become angry, but to be angry with the right person to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way is not easy. So we turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. And Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all those who were buying and selling there and overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. The characteristics of righteous or sinless anger. You want to jot these down on the side there. It does not derive itself from a grudge. It doesn't come from a grudge. If it's sinless anger, it doesn't come from a grudge. It is directed, it is usable, and it is controlled. The question is my anger legitimate or not? And we look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. We find a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. We think of this subject on anger, and nothing will do more damage to us physically, mentally, or spiritually than anger. Let's look at anger when it's directed and it's very, very explosive. In a book entitled When Anger Hits Home, I recommend that, the reader describes four personalities, and we probably fall in one or more of those categories. Stella Straight Shooter. She's the one that goes straight to the source and straight to this person, and she will come out in a fit of rage and anger against you for whatever she thinks she's done to you. Then there's Dan Deflector. Dan Deflector is somebody who's mad at a certain person, but they don't confront their person. they take that out on other people that are around them that have no idea why they're the recipient of anger. And then the third one is Karen Keeper. Karen Keeper is somebody who's mad at somebody. She doesn't confront that person. She goes around to her friends and tells her side of the story, maybe even coming to tears, and she's looking for sympathy from the hearer. And then the fourth kind is Randy Revenger. Randy is the one who's going to get even. He's going to wait for the right time and the right place in his eyes, and he's going to punish you. He's going to make sure you pay for what you've done to him. Listen to me carefully. Thanksgiving is on the horizon. One of these four people is coming to your family Thanksgiving dinner, so you got to know how to handle it. Will Rogers said, "People who fly off in a rage seldom make a good landing." Proverbs 14:17, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated." Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, "Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than from him." He says, if you're hasty, if you got a hairspring trigger, and you say, "Well, this is just me, I've got a quick temper," the Bible says there's more hope for a fool than it is for that person who shows that kind of anger. Proverbs 19:19, "A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you'll have to do it all over again." That kind of anger will cause you to lose your wife, lose your friends, and lose your job, and a lot of other things. When you get angry, you've got psychological and physiological consequences. Sometimes it'll raise your blood pressure. Sometimes it'll give you a stress headache. Sometimes your mouth just gets dry. Your palms get sweaty. You say, "Well, how can I control my anger? I just can't control my anger." God never tells us to control something without giving us the power to do it. When we find ourselves being angry, and I mean angry a lot, more than likely it's not all righteous indignation. It's not all legitimate. So what do? First thing we need to do is confess it to God. We need to agree with Him about what He already knows about us. The other thing we need to do is consider it. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." You need to begin by saying, "Lord, show me why I'm angry. Show me if I'm angry without a cause." And then Proverbs 29:11 says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." You need to control it. You say, "Well, I can't control it." Delaney and I went to Ellijay as the annual Go Get Your Apples trip a couple of Fridays ago. We don't go to the Apple Festival. There's just too many people there. There might be germs. And so we don't go there. We slip up on Friday morning and get out right about lunchtime and come on back home. We pulled off a major highway, 515, did the little U-turn and go make a left to go up to B.J. Reese's Apple Orchards. That's at least a half a peck he'll give me for giving an advertisement for him. And so, by the way, he's a bivocational pastor up there in LJ as well. So when we came down to the intersection to get on Highway 52, there's a stop sign right there. There's a dead end, and you got to go right or left. Somebody has run over that stop sign, and I mean, it didn't break. It is parallel to the ground, and the steel there is just parallel to the pavement. And I thought somebody was on their cell phone. And they were coming to a dead end, and there's a river right on the other side of that dead end. Maybe that stop sign stopped them. But here's what we need to think about when we're angry at somebody. We need to pretend that we're at a stop sign. And the question is, are we going to come to a complete stop before we step into anger? Or are we just going to run right over that stop sign and make an idiot out of ourselves? You say, "Well, I can't control my anger." Well, let me ask you a question. How many times has somebody called you on the phone and you are in an argument at the house, and you know what I'm about to say, and you look and see who it is, and you say, "Oh, hi, how are you doing today? It's just so good to hear from you. Oh, I'm having a great day." And you know what? You almost kill somebody in your house, and then all of a sudden you see somebody that's calling that you really love, and you have the sweetest personality in the whole wide world. We can control, with the help of the Holy Spirit, our anger. Proverbs 29:11, I told you a while ago, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Now notice in Proverbs 19, we see anger is denounced. We begin here, and it speaks about a man of discretion. And it says, a man of discretion who has wisdom defers their anger. The word discretion means a man who thinks, a person who thinks about it. Is it worth it to vent my anger right now? And more than likely, this is a sinful kind of anger, and it's going to damage my relationship with this person. You see, if he determines that his anger is sinful, then he immediately needs to condemn it. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your children. Don't blame your supervisor and your coworkers. Anger in my life needs to be condemned by me. First confess, then condemn. There are five things about anger you need to write down on the side here. Number one, if you don't have sufficient cause for your anger, it is sinful. If you don't have sufficient cause. The second thing is, if you're angry at a person, not over a subject or some area of disagreement, if you're angry at that person, it's sinful anger. Third thing you want to write down is this. If you hate the person that you're about to get angry with. The fourth thing you need to write down is this. If you cherish your anger, you kind of love to think about it and relive it and reenact it, is sinful anger. And number five, if you have an unforgiving spirit. Forgiveness is the giving up of resentment, rage, and anger, including the right to get even. Now, we can say to somebody, "I forgive you." But the question is it sincere? And the other thing you have to realize is that asking someone's forgiveness or granting forgiveness is not a point-in-time event for us. It is something that is a process, because the next time you see that person, what comes up in your mind? Is it something that makes you angry? Or did you really forgive that person over time? Unforgiveness is a refusal to give up anger and vengeance, and you live like this. Somebody's got to pay for what that person did to me. And then anger defeated. There's a verse in Ephesians 4 that deals with this matter in verse 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That's when somebody hurts you and you decide, "I'm just going to stay angry at that person rather than passing over the transgression." I remember my grandmother, when I told her, my mother's mother, she told me when I was going to get married, she quoted over and over, "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." Now, I think there have been some times when the sun went down early, but you understand what I'm talking about. That's not only between a husband and wife, that's between you and other people. That needs to be settled. It's what you do with the anger that is so important, and it determines what kind of anger it is. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. That is stubborn anger. That's what you harbor in your heart. And we go a little further. You're giving the devil, listen, you're giving the devil a stronghold when you want to hold on to your anger. It'll wreck your home. It'll wreck your marriage. It will wreck your parenting skills. It'll wreck the children's respect for the parents or the parents' respect for the children. It'll infiltrate every single area of your life. Don't let the devil get a beachhead with anger in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Now, what he describes there is six steps to a disaster. Just count them off in that one verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Number one, there's bitterness. Let all bitterness. That word means that you have a feeling of resentment. The writer of Hebrews calls that a root of bitterness. Sometimes in the spring, we'll go out and we'll see dandelions coming up in the yard. I just don't like weeds in my yard. I know somebody will sabotage it now and plant weed seed in my yard. But you can go out and you can reach down, and we hadn't had much rain lately, and you decide you'll pull up a dandelion. And you know what happens? All you get is the green part and not the root. Let me tell you what happens. I'm not a horticulturist, but this is common sense. If you don't get the whole root up, because you just pulled off the green, the root gets hardier. And when the dandelion comes back, it gets larger. So what you've actually done is help that dandelion to take deeper root in your yard and destroy the looks of your lawn. And a lot of good that does. Well, when he's talking about anger here, he says you've got to get down to the root of your anger. And that's what he's talking about. And the second thing he says is if you don't get that root up, the next thing that is coming is wrath. Now, the word wrath there means to burn on the inside. Has anybody ever made you burn on the inside? Oh, yes, yeah, starting with me. You've experienced that before. You experienced in traffic. You know, I've decided that when I'm at the no-service, self-service grocery line or at Walmart, when somebody's coming to cut in from me, I just give them a lot of room. I don't get heartburn when that happens. That doesn't bother me at all. They must need to get somewhere a whole lot faster than I do. So he says, be careful, because when that burn starts, you've got this psychological thing that's going on in your mind, and it may move to an outward expression. It's the third one that Paul lists there. It goes to anger. That which is inside of us is always going to come out if it's not controlled. And that expression of anger comes, and your face begins to show the anger. And there's all kinds of physiological and psychological consequences to that. But then number four, if you allow the anger to fester, look what it says in Ephesians 4:31. Then comes clamor. What is that? That means talking loud when you're mad. Have you ever done that? Honey, don't raise your voice at me. I'm not raising my voice at you. Y'all ever been there? If you're married and you say no, you'll lie about anything. Start out with a whisper. You're just hoping, guys, that the phone will ring and they can be happy when the new person calls. But he says the next thing that happens when you get angry like that, then he says, then evil comes. And what is that? That's evil speaking. You say some words that a Baptist ought never say. Because in the prison epistles, it says, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. The other thing is you might say some slanderous things. And those are things that you can apologize for, but you can't ever take back. Here's a person that's gotten to the anger stage with their wife. I wish we had never gotten married. Don't ever. No, ever. Don't ever say that. And then another thing you say, and I'm talking about God's people here. You say to your child, you can't do anything right. That's just crushing. You're ungrateful. You're not encouraging them. And then he says, number six, he says, then it turns into malice. Get rid of all malice. Hear somebody running over their spouse or an ex-friend with their automobile. You hear somebody doing something damaging. It's gotten out of control. So sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. And stubborn anger is to be conquered. And he tells us what we need to do. First of all, we need to recognize that anger. We need to recognize it for what it is. And the second thing we need to do is repent of that. And repent's not confession. Repentance is doing a 180 and turning away from that. And the third thing that we need to do is renounce it in our lives. Don't give place to the devil. After you've repented of something, admit you've done the wrong thing, that's when you need to do the 180 and start handling anger like Jesus did. Now remember what Aristotle said, right person, the right place, for the right reason, that's acceptable. But when it's sinful, it's something that hurts your walk with Christ. Don't lose your salvation. But you can't live a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life walking with anger out of control. We have a society right now that's angry because of politics. People are angry. United we stand, divided we what? And that's what's going to happen to this nation. We keep turning our backs on each other and keep turning our backs on God. You say, well, there's somebody who damaged me and it happened years ago or something was recent. I have a right to be angry with that person. I was reading the other day about a young lady who had been beaten severely as a child when she was growing up. She thought that her mother knew about her dad's abuse of her during those childhood years. This child, she grew up to be a young lady, and she was having trouble with all kinds of relationships, so she started going to a counselor. And she told the counselor, she said, I hate my mom and I hate my dad. If you would have withstood the punishment and the abuse that I did, you'd hate your parents as well. So finally, after many counseling sessions, the counselor said, I want to bring your mother into a counseling session with you. She said, well, I don't know what good that'll do, but we can do that. So it was several weeks later, they're going to have the appointment. Meanwhile, this counselee, this young lady, invited a friend, a longtime lady friend, over to her house for pie and coffee. And so when the friend came in, she started talking and saw the anger welling up in this lady all over again. And so her friend said, I've got to go for a few minutes, but I'll be right back. The friend came back in with two rocks about that big around. And she said to her, she said, look, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to put one rock in one hand, and you've got to hold it there. You can't let go of it. I'm going to put a rock in the other hand. You can't let go of it. You hold on to that rock, both those rocks, till I tell you to let them go. And so the lady said, well, I made a pie for us. And so the guest said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll slice the pie, and I'll feed it to you. But she said, I'm going to make the coffee, but you're going to have to pick up your coffee cup with both rocks, and one in each hand. And so that's what they did. And so they went along there a little bit longer, and it got to be 3 or 4 hours, and they're still visiting. And that lady's holding this lady in her hand, and she's holding these rocks in her hands. She said, you know, I think I'm going to drop these rocks. She said, no, I don't think you are. She said, you hadn't learned your lesson yet. She said, well, what is my lesson? She said, your life is like your hands with a rock in each one. Your whole life is like that. Your spiritual life, it's handicapped, it's hindered because you keep holding on to this unforgiveness. So the lady said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go outside. You got a beautiful pond in your backyard. And she said, we're going to go out there and pray. And let's see what happens. So the lady got under conviction. They went out. And I wanted to read her prayer to you. She went out there and she said, how am I supposed to get rid of this unforgiveness, this anger in my heart from mom and dad? And so when the lady got out there with the rocks, the girl started to pray. She said, Heavenly Father, I admit to you that I have not freely forgiven my father and mother for the harm they caused me as a child. I'm holding them in my heart with a desire to see my parents punished. Please help me to set them free and place them in your hands so that I might receive your forgiveness in my life. In faith, I give you the worst of my life, believing that you promised the best life possible through a relationship with you. Help me to forgive. Help me to receive your forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And when she stopped praying, she took one rock and threw it as far as she could into that pond. And she took the other one and threw that one to the bottom of the pond. The next day, she went to see her counselor. And the counselor said, well, your mom's coming in. But I notice there's a change in you. There's a difference on the expression of your face. What's going on? She said, well, I've forgiven my mom and dad. I turned it loose yesterday. Well, mom came in for the appointment. Counselor had the young lady to tell mom, mom, I thought you knew dad was abusing me all these years. And she said, I want you to know that I've forgiven you and dad. And mom looked at her square in the eyes and she said, I never knew that your daddy abused you one time. She had been angry at somebody who was an innocent party. And then she found out the truth, but before she found out the truth, she was willing to let it go. We can control our anger with the power of the Holy Spirit, but listen to me. Forgiveness is the most positive and productive action we can take to release us from anger. It's crucial to let go of that pain and not inflict the pain on the other person and forgive them as the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Now the question is, are you angry? Is it sinful? Or is it Christ-like? And only you and the Lord know the answer. Let's stand right where you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. This is just an issue that's getting out of control in our society. And you've told us in your word how to live a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life. And there are ways by what we say and our mannerisms and how we treat others, even if they come in a hostile way to be angry toward us, to be able to neutralize that. And Lord, help us always be willing to forgive. It's easy to look at ourselves and think, oh, we're so perfect, we're so mature in Christ. And many times we're just holding grudges, whether we've expressed them to the person that we're angry at. We're just holding grudges. We just have to confess that to you and turn away and let people know that it makes a big difference having a new nature in Christ in relationships. So we pray that you would forgive us where we have sinful anger, that we could show the love of Christ to people, whether they're saved or unsaved. You're here today, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. He lived a perfect life, died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, rose again so that the price for your salvation and mine would be paid. All you've got to do is ask him to come in. There's going to be a staff member, the Family Life Center, two of us here in the worship center during this time of invitation. If you need assistance, with no pressure to make that decision. Maybe you're here today and you've trusted Christ and you never followed in obedience in believer's baptism. We ask that you will come today. Maybe you're here today and you've been our guest for a while and you want to come and be a part of this fellowship because you've prayed about it. God's given you peace, that you need to plant your spiritual gifts in this little place in Silver Creek where you'll make a difference local, nationally, and internationally. We ask you to come in. Lord, this is the most important time in this service. I realize you're working in the hearts and minds of people that are here. We're going to give you thanks in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the Family Life Center, the praise band's coming forward along with Richard Brown. If you're uncomfortable coming forward making your decision, meet Richard at the Connect desk right after the service. Ted's here with me at the front. We invite you to come if you need to make a decision. Uncomfortable with that, come to the Welcome Center desk. After the service, we'll be glad to meet with you there. And if you're watching on your electronic device, if you'll call 706-234-1841 and leave a message, one of our staff members will get in touch with you concerning your need. So Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.